Hey guys, thank you so much for stopping by Legend Church's weekly podcast. Just a quick reminder, you can check us out at legendchurch.com, find us on Facebook and Instagram, and Sunday mornings in Madisonville. But hey, without further ado, set the cruise control, start mountain run, or grab a drink, and let's talk about all things Jesus.
And I'm on stage, and here I am. Are we there? Okay, there we go. I know you guys get excited when you see the whiteboard, but I'm not going to draw a lot, so don't get excited. It's been 3 weeks since I've been up here, and you would think that that would be like, oh man, I bet you got something awesome because you didn't do it for 3 weeks. But I think that just makes it weirder because my brain's weird. And so my hope for the next 20 minutes is that it makes sense, because it's a lot of me. And that usually doesn't make sense. But we started this series 4 or 5 weeks ago, where we talked about this moment, maybe in our lives, maybe in our past, maybe in our present, maybe in our future. What a meta statement. Where we've encountered God, the divine. Could be through a church service, or it could be through an altar call, or could have been through a mountain or a flower. But we encounter God, and what we would say here, because we really like him, is we encounter Jesus. Maybe we took on the name Christian, and we live a life, and then we die, right? At some point, we're going to die. That's just a thing. It's a good thing. We should talk about it sometime, because I love it. But we die. We're going to die. And then this whole series has been about what's this stuff. I think a lot of times in Christianity and its past and its history, recent history has made mistakes, I think, of thinking that everything is about like, you know, okay, we want a thumbs up, getting into the good place. Like, yeah, as long as we do all the right things throughout this, we're going to get into the good place. I think that misses a whole lot of the point. That misses like everything. We don't really teach that, or really me and Jason don't anyways. But all of this in here matters, and there's things to do, and I think most of the Bible is all about being human, about what it means to live and what it means to be on the earth living. And so we brought up this word a couple weeks ago, virtues, which is a weird word for our church. I don't think of that word when I think of legend, but that's all right. Virtues, like things to practice. What are some things that we practice I'm going to practice this daily so that when the world comes, when the world punches, man, these are the things that naturally come out of me. So that's sort of where we've been today. We've kind of gone through different virtues that we should try to practice. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, humility. These sort of things that we love here. Today we're going to do more of a case study. I picked someone from our church, and we're going to look at all the issues they have. And who is it? It's not Jason. I'm just kidding. That's a good Jason, though, right? That would be horrible. What if I was like, hey, we're going to pick apart Jason today and talk about his issues and ways to do. No, it's really Stephanie. We're going to talk about her. Just kidding. It's me. So I'm going to bring up something where I feel like, man, this is where I struggled this week. And this is kind of how I use whatever we've been talking about. We're going to see if this works. I don't know if it works or not. We're going to see. But I was at, I go to the gym, which is cool, right? It's a sweet, humble brag. I go to this gym. It should look a lot better. But I do this HIIT class on Thursday mornings, and there's this one, you know, station where it's actually my favorite station because you're sitting down, and it's the rowing machine, and I'm like doing it, and I'm in my head, I'm doing it. I'm doing it like the thing. We got like 30 seconds to roll through this. And she comes up to me, Sarah, the instructor, and she goes, what are you doing, like 60%? And I was like, yeah. Like, I didn't think so. I thought I was at 100. But when she said it, I was like, yeah, I'm at 60, man. Like, that's, and then, like, I thought about that all day. Because once she said it, I was like, oh, I can do, like, probably 40% more than I'm doing right now. And so I thought about that all day, and it's actually since that happened a month ago, I've thought about it all the time. I'm like, I think that's my entire life. I'm at 60% all the time. Everything I do is 60%. I'm not 100. That sounds very stressful and a lot. I'm not doing that ever. And if I drop below 50, I feel like I'm not doing anything at all. So I'm like, okay, 60 seems cool. But I think that's me. I don't think it's a good thing or necessarily a bad thing. It's just, yeah, that may, I told her. I was like, you nailed it, Sarah. I'm at 60% all the time. And so, but when you're at 60% all the time, things that enter into my world, even if it's small, become very stressful because I don't like to go at 100 where you're just going so fast things bounce off of you, or I don't go so slow where I get to process things. I'm just right in that middle zone where I'm like, oh, that's a big distraction. And so this week, I was actually, you know, we were on vacation. We came home, and I was driving on a Wednesday, and I'm like, you know, I usually pray. I'm like, God, you know, what should I talk about this Sunday? What are we going to talk about? What's the deal? It sounds like Simon. What's the deal with this, God? And there's something off. Like, there is a, the only way I can describe it is this. Like, this is right here. That makes a lot of sense to me, but I know it's maybe a rock in my, not in my mind, but in my soul. I'm like, and so I do the checklist. I do the checklist of what I do. I go, all right. Are me and Kristen fighting? That's usually, we'll bring out that. Are the kids okay? Are they struggling through something? And that'll bring up that. Finances, that's a big one. And I'm going through the regular checklist of stresses. I think at the moment everything is cool, but there's this, it's there. And it feels, and it's not, again, it's not, I don't want to oversimplify because I'm going to give an answer to this, and it's not that it's, anyways, whatever, I'm not going there. It's just, there's something in my soul that's just off. And so I just stop, I actually pull over the car, I'm like, all right, God, man, what is this? I don't know. I literally, I'm like, God, this thing's happening, what is it? I don't know what it is, I need you to fix this thing. And I realize that I have this quite often when, I wish I had a name for it, I don't know, so maybe some people, because I have it when something's wrong in my world. And it's not usually something exterior, it's usually something interior. Like I'm not doing something or something's very stressful, something's interrupting my flow down the highway at 60%, at 60 miles per hour, is that a thing? And so I don't know, and so I'm trying to figure out, okay, what this is. And so let's jump really quick to this, what I think the Christian life is. If you were like, hey, what, if you came to me, you may disagree with this, it's fine. But there can be multiple truths, guys. But there's life, right? And I'm doing vertical lines on purpose because I feel like if I do horizontal, you'll think one's on top of the other, and that's nonsense. Let's just say there's base life. And let's say if this is like bad, that's like bad, we all would agree. Like, hey, let's say, man, this life is full of greed and violence and hate and anger and oppressing, I guess, exclusivity. There's things that we would put on a very hard life, man. That's that. And we all know, man, there's a way that we shouldn't live. All of us get that, no matter what. Let's put a smiley face or a best sad face. But then there's like other ways to live that we, and you know, I'm gonna kind of, because we kind of zigzag them a little bit, that we call, I think if you're just in general in the world, we try trying to be a good person. I mean, I'm just gonna be a good person. I'm gonna try real hard. Sometimes I'm gonna dip into these things, and sometimes I'm gonna nail it. I'm just trying to be a good person. And I think that's our general in life. That's it. I'm going to try to be a good person, try to succeed, try to be a good citizen, try to treat my neighbors well. And that's not bad. I would say what we are called to as a Christian, though, and I don't even want to put it's something else. It's out here. I'm putting a smiley face there. It doesn't mean that these can't be smiley, but it's different. And I think this is important, especially when we come to this, because our job is to live way different. And it's to live, just all through all the things we've been talking about, humble lives where others, everyone, even enemies, are more important than me. And their needs are more important. I lift them up before I lift me up, right? We live in, man, love is it. And inclusivity and patience and peace, just these things. These are what hope, right? Hope. These are what we're about. And what we've been talking about through this is that this makes us a little different. It should make us different. It's not just being a good person, because sometimes we're going to mess up. And this could probably flow into that sometimes. But anyways, this probably doesn't make sense to you, but I needed this. I needed to see this chart to be like, okay, this is where I'm at. And it's when I do this that I get this, right? I get that. And so I have to look at my life and be like, okay, what's going on? What's happening in my life? So I want to talk a little bit about beginnings and endings. This week, or actually, the beginning of last week, three shows, television shows that I've been invested in for about 4 years ended. Like, not season, but series. The whole series ended. And that's a big deal. I love TV and I love shows and I love how things end, because some shows nail it and they end perfect and some shows do really bad. But the three shows, Succession, which I have no idea what they're talking about all the time, but I get by the music and the frowns that bad things happen and good things happen. But it's really good. And I just don't know about businessy terms. And then, Barry, which is a show that no one I know watches, but I love it. And Ted Lasso. These three shows ended, and I've been watching them for a while. I'm going to tell you how they all ended right now. Just kidding. I haven't seen Ted Lasso. But all three of them ended, I would say, perfectly. They ended perfectly. And the way that they ended perfectly is because the end, like, as you, when you're watching, especially several seasons, you got side stories and side character arcs and things like that. But each show ended reminding you what the entire show was all about to begin with. And showing you where the characters have either grown or where they have stayed exactly the same and not grown. And when I have that, that is exactly the perfect ending of a show. My top three show endings of all time, The Office, Cheers, and Sopranos, which is a hot take because a lot of people didn't like it. Do you guys have good ones? What's a good one? Wow. No one. That is a lie. You don't really think that, do you? You can. Sorry, you can. What's that? Season three. That's not the end, though. That's not the end. It is definitely not the end. Man, this is a controversial topic. Actually, it's like when I meet someone and I don't know them, usually my go-to is like, hey, what kind of shows are you watching? And nothing kills the conversation more than when it's like, I don't watch TV. And I'm like, because then I feel dumb, because I do. Clearly, I do, because I asked the question. I can't go back now and be like, either do I, man. So then if they say that, I'm like, oh. And then I'll usually switch it, like, what, do you like to hike? Because usually the outdoorsy crowd is not the indoorsy guy. So I'm like, and so it's really, anyways, when people like you guys just did, when I asked about TV and you're like, nothing, it's very awkward. So next time, have an answer. But these shows ended, which I just loved the way that they did it. And it reminded me of our sermon series where we're talking about beginnings and endings and what happens in the middle. I'm going to tie that into this in just a second. But let's look at this Bible verse that I want. It's kind of a weird, obscure one. There we go. So it's from Revelation, which we'll get into in a second, which is kind of a weird kind of a book. It's this literature, apocalyptic, which was a style of writing back then. It wasn't just for the Bible or Bible writers. There was people who wrote in this, and you're sort of using giant, exaggerated scenes to do a teaching. And so in this one, you have the Apostle John, the disciple, and he's a rebel rouser because he's talking about, you know, empires and Caesar and all this other stuff and how we just need to love each other and we need to be humble and we need to, you know, all this. He's really attacking the system and the king. And tradition has it that they boiled him alive and he still lived, which would be horrible. And then they put him on this island and they exiled him. And on this island, he had a Ram Dass level LSD trip. Just kidding. Or maybe not. Who knows? But he had this vision. And he had this vision, and the vision teaches a lot. And he's like, he wrote the vision down. And he sent it to the people who followed him, his followers. So that's where we're getting here. But he has this, and it says, this is going to be really intense. He goes, yet I hold this against you. He's talking to a church, the church in Ephesus. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. but you have this in your favor. I love this line, and it's kind of lame, but you hate the practices of Nicolaitans. Take that, Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So let's just leave that up there for a second, and we'll thumb through it, because it's random. But it makes sense. So in this, you have this, you should picture, like, I picture, like, this Indiana Jones kind of room, like, old dusty room, and there's, like, smoke from a fog machine. And there's all these small buildings, and all these small buildings represent churches, like churches that John knows, like the one in Ephesus. Like, hey, there's a body of believers there who are being persecuted, like really trying to live this thing out. And you're supposed to get this image that there's each church has its a lampstand next to it. And the lampstand represents the light of this church. And you get this image, as John's talking, that Jesus, you know, kind of like giant Jesus, is walking through the lampstands and sort of just like examining and seeing which ones are good and which ones are bad. And so he's using this as a way to talk to these churches. And man, some of these churches are bad. And he's like, man, your lampstand's gone, man. You're out. Like, it's bad. They're not doing the good things. They're doing bad things. Some of them are just kind of like, eh, you're all right. And then some, like, and Ephesus is actually pretty good. He says in the beginning, man, you're doing all these good things. Your light's glowing. And then he says, but I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. So something in this church, in this vision of a church, man, they've lost something there. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Repent, remember, is just changing your mind. Man, change your mind. Do the things you did at first. If you don't do that, I'll come and remove the lampstand from its place. So it's kind of a warning to this group of people, not like an individual. If you want to know more about the Nicolaitans, you can ask Keith online or Jason. You can ask me, but you probably won't like my answer. But it's apparently we don't like them. We don't like the Nicolaitans, so don't be one of them if anyone asks you to convert. But again, you have this. They began somewhere. They had an experience with someone who experienced God or Jesus. And they experienced this person, Jesus, and in this person, Jesus, they said, there's a different way to live. There's this. There is a 100% different way to live. And for them, that way was better. That way was more loving, more peaceful. It gave them a different kind of life. John's going to describe it as a life abundantly. A life where it's just full. And then something as time progressed, they just kind of lost it. They lost track of it. The world comes, stresses come, money comes, arguments come, the world punches, and they lose it. And so here they are, here in this vision, and they say, man, you've lost this. Do we relate to that at all, anyone? I mean, really, I'm asking for real. Like, I don't know if we've ever had this experience with Jesus, with the church, maybe growing up, maybe as adults, where, man, yeah, or maybe on a mountaintop or seeing a flower or in the ocean, whatever it is where you've had an experience that whispers to you, man, this isn't all there is in the world. There's something more. Man, the lives we're living are kind of mundane, and there's probably something else. And we have put a name and a person to that Jesus, and we've had an experience, and maybe through time, we've lost that feeling, and we're searching for it. Or, man, a organization or a person in the name of God did something horrible and took us away. Or the world came and it got stressful. Or maybe we were looking for answers, and whatever we had found just didn't end up meeting that expectation. These are things that we end up like Ephesus, and we fall away. And that doesn't always have to be a long decades of time. It could be day to day, hour to hour. That's how it is for me. That's what this is for me. This feeling of like, I've gone somewhere and I don't have it. Did we get that? Did we get that? Is that all right? Are we good? We're good? No? All right. So what's the advice though? How do you fix this? So here I am. What I'm saying is that there's a place that I like to be in, and I call it being very connected. And when I'm walking this line, man, I feel like there's love, and there's joy, and there's peace, and that's who I'm supposed to be. This is what we're supposed to be about. These are the things we're practicing, sacrifice. And when people encounter us, they should be encountering this, because man, this is a life abundant, right? This is what they. So when there's times where I'm doing that, and there's times where I'm going through the checklist of life punches and nothing's happening, but I'm still, something's off. There's just something, there's a hole, there's a stone in my soul, and I can't quite figure out what it is. What I like about this verse is that he gives them some advice. He says, go back and do the things you did at first. Go back to the first love. So maybe there's a time in your history with, I don't just want to say religion, I don't like that, but your history with God, your history with Jesus, your history with Christians, where there was something very beautiful that started. Maybe it was when you were little, maybe it was when you were adult, maybe it was an encounter you had. My wife has this beautiful story. She came to Christ a little later in her life, and she was doing a sermon, and the preacher man said the verse, Jesus wept. And she heard that, and for the first time in her life, she had never processed Jesus as this human person who could weep. And that was a beautiful moment for her, and it worked. It transformed a lot of her thinking at that moment. So I wonder sometimes if I have to go back and remember those kind of things. There's Kristen Willison. She experiences it through song. When she needs reminding of it, she will play, what Monty was saying, like Caleb, Christian music. And I actually have adopted that practice because I don't like Christian music. I don't listen to it very much. And there's times when I'm feeling like this and just listening to people sing about God in a beautiful way, saying beautiful things, transforms me. So for some of us, man, it was songs. We sang songs. When we first got into this thing, I'm going to sing a song. And songs will take us back. Maybe it was, it's definitely not a sermon. Just kidding, it could be. Maybe it was times of prayer. When I first fell in love with you, Jesus, which I love. I love this marital terms right now. I'm really into this, probably because of the show I'm watching. But this, I love this marital idea of Jesus. I mean, I fell in love with you, and I prayed, and I sang songs, and it mattered. And I lost that over time. And this is asking us to go back and do this. Fasting, there's practices or maybe things that we did or picked up. For me personally, my big introduction to it all, even though I grew up, it was when I went to Mexico to build houses. And we did something nice for people, but they did something bigger for me as I saw that God mattered outside of money and outside of what I would have thought is a happy life. These people and their community and how they engaged me changed my world. And so I have to go in. So when I feel usually like this, I need to go engage with someone who's going to encourage me. This is sort of my going back to do the things you did at first. But I want us to process that because as we go through this, I mean, it is hard. It is hard. And sometimes people can relate and sometimes people don't get what you're going through. And we can't live in that. I can't live with that in my, that's that I had to pull over right then because I was like, hey, there's something there, God, I need you to deal with it now. And at that moment, I listened to some songs. I put a song on, I was good. I was like, all right, it's gone until tomorrow. And then, but go back and do the things you did at first. Are there things in your spiritual practice? My brother, friend Patrick, reads his Bible every day. For some of us, that may be hard. For some of us, that may be, we don't know it or get it, but like, there were times in my life, especially when I first started off on this journey, where that, just the words, or just the practice itself, filled something and did something. And so the idea is that if we've fallen out of love with God, with the divine, and maybe it's your fault, maybe it's not, could be someone else's, go back and do the things you did at first. The virtues and the practices we should be practicing are the things we did at first. Because the things that we do to attract love are the same things we do to keep love, right? So that's it. Man, today, if you feel this, I can feel it. Go back and do the things you did at first. Find out what those are. And maybe the thing you did at first was just walking in here. Maybe it was like, man, I need some church. I'm just going to walk in. When I talk about on your way here and feeling kind of almost out, We call that Welcome to Legend because I think almost everyone here, we were their last stop on the way out of just checking out the whole thing. So, you know, it's like that. We're the last stop. And so if you came here because, I mean, I just got to check something out. I mean, I hope that act in and of itself is the things you did at first. But find out where it is you connect to the divine, where it is you connect to God. What is it that you need to get back onto this? And again, this isn't a higher route. It's just a different route. The way of Christ is different. And I think better, but different. All right, that's it, man. That's my brain today. I hope that helps. I hope we can learn these practices. I hope we share these practices with each other. I love taking on other people's practices and trying them out. Man, I want to pray for us. I want to pray that God fixes our skewedness. That's a good word. Let's do that. God, thanks for this moment to just unravel my brain, unravel my heart, unravel my soul. Lord, I try really hard, as I think we all do, to be the thing that we're supposed to be, the way that we're supposed to be. And man, we really get that wrong, and that's why grace is amazing. But Lord, I pray that we can practice things. And man, I want to use this kind of language with you right now, that that we fall in love with you over and over again, because you are love. That is what God is. That is what you are. That is what Jesus represented. So let us, in our hearts and our souls, fall in love with you. And then when we stop because things get mundane, let us remember the things we did at first. Let us remember the songs, remember the words, remember the feelings, remember the people, remember the thing that we did. And let us practice those things so that the rest of the community will be encouraged by who we are because we love you. Man, I pray this because we love Jesus. Amen. We do this communion now, and basically the way we do it is while the band is playing a song, you can come up anytime and take one of these little shot cups of grape juice and bread. And you can sit here and pray for a second if you want. Man, pray. If you don't know, if you're like, I have no idea. God, what did I do? How do I fall in love with you? Man, pray that prayer. If there's something, sometimes this is because there's things in my life that I probably need to get rid of. Man, this is a good place to come and bring that to the table. If there's something that needs to be healed, this is a good place to do that. And grab another person. Grab someone else and pray with them if you want. But just come to the table anytime during the song. That's that time. And then one more thing. After the last song, if anyone needs someone to pray for them or just someone to talk to, there's a few people down here on the stage, and come on down and do that.